Okay, so is there a blessing for the president? That's our question. And before we get into the sources, I just want to give a little introduction to the concept of the blessing of the president. We know that brachos are the way that Chazal taught us how to perceive Hashem in situations in life. When we eat, we make a bracha, because we're seeing Hashem through the food. Hashem gives us chias, He gives us life, the nourishment. When we see beautiful scenery in nature, you make a bracha, because you're perceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in nature. And in every area of life, you know, you see somebody extremely beautiful, there's a bracha. When you see somebody who's extremely disfigured, there's a bracha. When you see something, and when you have a very happy situation, a sad situation, use the restroom. Chazal saw there's opportunities in life to recognize Hashem. And one of these opportunities is upon seeing powerful leaders. The bracha on a king, Chazal saw, these are all derabbanan, Chazal saw that when you see a powerful leader, there's a way in which you can glimpse Hashem through this leader. The Chazal, in general, they teach us about Kavod Malchus overall. We know that in Yom Kippur, when Esther goes into Achashverosh, so Chazal say that she was saying a kapitel Tehillim, and she referred to him as a kelev, as a dog. At that point, Hashem stripped her of her Ruach HaKodesh and said, how dare you refer to a melech as a dog? A melech deserves kavod. Achashverosh was no tzaddik. He had signed on to annihilate all of Klal Yisrael. He was a Rashi. The Gemara tells us he was a bigger than Samach and Haman was. But yet, he was a melech. And Chazal said and taught us that when it comes to a melech, you have to give kavod regardless of the king's stature in terms of your own mind. Malchus deserves kavod. And Moshe goes to Paro. The Pasuk says, Vayetzaveim El Paro Melch Mitzrayim, and Rashi says that you should go speak to him with kavod. Paro was certainly a Rasha. But every single melech deserves kavod. We see a melech as a model, as a symbol of Hashem's malchus. Now Hashem is all-powerful. And in our lives, we rarely encounter people who have such power. A melech is a dogma, a certain model of this power of Hashem. We say mechus da'ara kim chus d'arkiya, the Gemara says that the malchus in this world is a miniature of the malchus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we have to show respect. We're supposed to perceive Hashem's power through a melech. And again, we're not looking at the individual. Like I said, you know, this has nothing to do with politics. Whether you like the president or you don't like the president, whether the king is a Rasha, the king is a Tzaddik, it makes no difference in terms of the bracha. The bracha is said upon the position, upon the power, and upon the honor of the person, not upon the individual character of the person. There'll be Kaf HaChaim quotes at the end of the packet that even Yeravam ben Nevat, who was one of the biggest Rishayim to rule over Klal Yisrael ever, even Achav, who was a terrible Rasha, also deserves the bracha. Not because they were great people, but because they are malachim. They have that power, and they're given that honor, despite the fact they're Rishayim. So your opinion of any leader, whether it be our current president or any other president or leader, is irrelevant to this bracha, because the bracha is on the position of malchus, and on the power, not upon the individual. The word, one of the words we use in Lashon HaKodesh for a ruler is a moshel. And it's been said that moshel is the same word as mushel, because a moshel is meant to serve for us as a mushel to Hashem. Just like this person has incredible powers, we should see this as a little picture, a little miniature glimpse of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every single moshel is a mushel. The Gemara in Brachos says, on the Pasuk, HaMisnasei L'chol L'rosh, that Hashem is the one who appoints anybody of power to their position. And the Gemara says, Yafila Rosh Gargarisa, even the chief trench digger is also in power because of Hashem. Now, the chief dog catcher, the chief garbage collector, and certainly a mayor, a governor, a county executive, anybody in a position of power and leadership is in that position because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon them some of his authority, some of his power. So in that person, we're supposed to see that power and that honor and that glimpse of Hashem. Rav Volba actually writes, he says that Bezman Hazeh, it's to our detriment that we don't have absolute rulers all around us. You know, go back a few hundred years ago, there were absolute monarchs. And many of them were evil, many of them were wicked, they did terrible things. Some were good, but the power which was there was power which enabled us to glimpse Hashem's power. And to understand, when we say that we're standing before Melch Malchayim Lachim, so when you used to have a glimpse of an earthly king with absolute power, you'd have some sort of semblance of what it means to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nowadays, no matter what we say about the bracha and the president, there are very few countries, if any, have a leader with absolute powers. And we don't have that mashal at all of what it means to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we read Midrashim and, you know, the old Svarim and the like, Mashalim always begin when there was a king. And the reason is because they used to relate to kings. So they had kings, and they had the fear of a king, and they understood the honor of a king, and the king meant something in their lives. to us, a king sounds like a fairy tale. And when we hear these midrashim, we have difficulty relating because it sounds like someone's telling us fairy tales. And that's to our detriment, Rav Olba says, because now we no longer have that model to use to relate to Hashem. So, but in our minds, the perspective on this whole bracha is that when you see somebody in power, you see somebody accorded that honor and having that type of authority, that should serve for us as a model. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Right. So we'll get to the criteria of what allows the bracha to be said. There's also another halacha which is said that the Gemara says Olam Yarod Zadam Likras Malachim. Persians should always run to greet kings, even non-Jewish kings. And it says because it'll give us an understanding to distinguish between a true tzaddik and Melech HaMashiach versus what another earthly king looks like. Another mefarshim explain also so we get that glimpse of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There is a concept of going to rush to see a king. Even at the expense of Talmud Torah, the halacha is that even if you have a seder of learning Torah, but a king is coming to town, you're actually allowed to not learn that day, mevatel your learning, and go see the king. It's said you should only do it once in a lifetime, unless the king comes in with more honor and more glory, but for the same king, you should do it once in a lifetime, but you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to go and see the king. I didn't go, but when we had Ronald Reagan's funeral, whenever that was, 10, 12 years ago, I really wanted to go. It was Erev Shabbos, I think, and it was too difficult to work out, so I didn't end up going. But there, at least in America, the greatest honor given to presidents seems to be after death. That's what it seems to be. You know, a presidential funeral is something would actually really do accord honor to the person. Right? And inauguration also you have as well. Right, correct, that's for sure. I didn't go to inauguration this year, but I did have a very big cheshek to Ronald Reagan's funeral. I didn't end up going at the end, but that's just a glimpse of kavod. We don't, and kavod these days is something very rare to see. So now let's go through some of the sources and understand the bracha a little bit better in its sources. So we'll just start from the Gemara. I'm sorry I didn't number the pages in the packet. I meant to number them, but I just forgot to before I made the copies. But the first page in the packet. So this is the Gemara in Bebrachos, Daf Nunches Amud Aleph. I'm not going to read through everything altogether, but just to point out the Gemara, there's a little arrow pointing to it. It's bracketed off. It says, Tanu Rabbanin. If you see a Talmud Chacham, a great Gadol Ador, that's a different shiur talking about what defines that. You make the bracha of Baruch Shechach Mechachmos L'Reyav, Baruch is Hashem, who divvied of his wisdom to those who fear him. If you see Chacham Usa Olodus Chacham, you see a Goa who's a Chacham in secular wisdom, you make a bracha of Baruch Shechach Mechachmos L'Reyav, or Baser V'Dam, would be the gears that we have. You say Baruch Atah Hashem, that you gave of your wisdom to flesh and blood. Haroah Malchei Yisrael, this is what concerns us. If you see a Jewish king, you say, Baruch Shechach Mechavodo L'Yireyav, blessed is Hashem who divvied of his honor those who fear him. If you see Malchei Obri Kocham, you see a non-Jewish king, Omer, you say, Baruch Shnasa Mechavodo L'Basar V'Dam, again, should be the Girsa, blessed is the one who gave of his honor to flesh and blood. So the Gemara gives no further definition of a king. The Gemara just says the word Melech and leaves it at that. Now, the Gemara with a story, which is relevant later on in our discussion. I'll just paraphrase the story. The story is that Rav Sheshis was blind, and he went down to greet. The king was coming in with his entire entourage. You know, there was an honor guard, and there was troops coming before him, and the king was coming to town. So Rav Sheshis went down to greet the king. And he was there with a tzaduki. And the tzaduki said to Rav Sheshis, I don't understand, you're blind. What are you doing? What are you coming to see? Why are you coming to see the king? So he says, you know what, I'll show you I know better than you. And a few different troops come in with a lot of like hoopla and excitement. And the tzaduki said, the king's on his way. The prince says, not yet. And eventually the king comes. Rav Sheshis is able to know when the king is there. And the Gemara says at the very end, it says the Rav Sheshis, Pasach Rav Sheshis, right before the end bracket there, Pasach Rav Sheshis became baruch le. Rav Sheshis made a bracha. But he was blind. He didn't see the king. But he still made the bracha on the king's arrival, which is very important to understand the halacha later on. Now I will point out there's a machlokas here in the Rishonim, what bracha he made exactly. Because some redact the word mevarich le, he blessed him. Now the bracha we're discussing, of nasan mechvod levasar v'dam, it's not blessing the king, it's blessing Hashem. If the Gemara says mevarich le, blessed him, so some say it just means that Rav Sheshis says something along the lines of like, you know, long live the king, Yechi HaMelech, you know, may God bless the king, something like that. Not the bracha that we're discussing. However, most authorities say, and the halacha says, that he actually did make the bracha of Nasa Michlal Vasar Vadam. So we can be comfortable in saying lahalacha that Rav Sheshis, though he was blind, still made the bracha. And the question is, well, what are you making in the bracha? If you didn't see it, how can you make the bracha? So we'll have to get back to that later on. But that's the whole Gemara. The only information we have in all of Shas in this bracha is this Gemara, and that's all it tells us. So it doesn't really define what qualifies as a king. Now the emes is, it doesn't define it because until recent centuries, it was simple. A king was a king was a king. A king had absolute power, absolute authority. There's no parliament and no congress, and there weren't limited powers, and no prime ministers and no presidents. It was like a king had all the power in the world, and that was a king. So there's no need to define it until the past few hundred years. The whole concept of a democracy or a constitutional monarchy and limited powers is a very modern concept in terms of world history, which weaves us with our question, you know, does the king of the Gemara at all relate to our modern day leaders, whether it be a king of a country who has limited power, whether it be a president or a prime minister or the Queen of England. You know, all of them are limited in their own ways, and the question would be, do they deserve this bracha or not? This wasn't a shaila until modern times, because there was no question. The king was a king, and that was it. So I'll make a few just important small points, and then we'll get into more of the bigger issues. One important point is that a king that you would make a bracha on is only once in 30 days. So let's say you work alongside the king, so you wouldn't make the bracha, because you're seeing him daily. It's very similar. You know, people who live in your shalayim, they don't tear kriya going to the kosel, because they see it within 30 days. And most brachas, if you live near the ocean, you don't make a bracha on the ocean because you're seeing it within 30 days. So if you're somebody who works with the king and you're seeing him daily, you don't make a bracha. It's only if a 30-day time period has lapsed and you haven't seen him would the bracha actually be made. That's number one. So even if we could argue you make a bracha on the president, if you work in the White House, you probably don't have to make a bracha. Maybe on his first day when he comes in after the inauguration you would, but after that, no more bracha. If you're seeing him within 30 days, no more bracha. Another point made, and all the posts can agree to this, but they bring up the shaila and they answer it, is the bracha the same on a king as on a queen? And again, assuming the queen hits all the criteria, would she deserve a bracha as well? And the answer by all poskim is absolutely. You know, the bracha is not on the fact that he's a king, it's on the power which is there. So whether you're a king or a queen, it's irrelevant. The point is, if you have the power and you're accorded that honor, there certainly is a bracha to be made. So that's not an issue. So whether you have a queen or a king, it's the same thing. Another question would be, when the Gemara says Melech, well, maybe you need to have the title king. I mean, our question is the president. Well, he's not a king, he's a president. A prime minister. He's not a king, he's a prime minister. So do you need the actual Toar of Melech? Do you need to actually have that title? And the answer to that also is no. It's not just the title. The title is a technicality. It's semantics. It has to do with the power and the honor, not the title. And that's very clear from the point of the Radbaz, which we'll get to. The Radbaz discusses the question, would you make a bracha upon seeing what he calls the Basha? The Basha was a governor that was appointed by the king of Egypt to go rule in a certain area. So he has some discussion about, do you make a bracha on the Basha? But none of his issue is the fact that the Basha is not a king. The Basha is a Basha, a governor. So you don't need the title king to qualify for this bracha. The title is not a necessary part of this bracha. So those are three important points to keep in our minds. And even if the person's a Rasha, as I said before, the Kavach Chaim says, even if it's a Rasha like Achav, or Yeravam, or Achashverosh, or Paro, again, it's irrelevant. You make the bracha anyways, because the bracha is on the power and on the honor, not upon the person. So now what I want to talk about in terms of the president, there's really three major issues which hosts can discuss in terms of having the president qualify for this bracha. And the truth is, you certainly could create a shita to make a bracha on the president of Shem Malchus. You could. Would I tell you to do that bottom line? I would not recommend it. You can ask your rav what to do. But certainly there is grounds to make a bracha on the president if you see all these shitas we're going to discuss. And really there's three major issues. The three questions we're going to address, and which posts can bring up. Number one, his term is only temporary. His term is temporary. Forgetting term limits, but he's appointed for a temporary amount of time. He has to be re-elected. And he could be removed. You know, there are ways you can impeach a president. I'm not sure, is there a recall process? I'm not even sure if there's a recall process in the president. Maybe there is. I don't really know. There's not. Yeah, there's not. But you know, you can certainly impeach a president. There are ways the president can lose power. So temporary term is one issue. A true melech is for life. It's a dynasty. It's a life appointment. So no questions asked. Number two is that his power is limited. Mainly, the main issue discussed is the ability to execute, to kill people. The old king can say off with his head, and done. That was it. The modern day president, prime minister, and leader of a government doesn't necessarily have that authority. They have to go through a court system or Congress. They have to get approval from advisors. Many, many modern day leaders don't have that power. So the question is that power necessary, and what defines that power? That's question number two. And question number three is that the bracha itself is nasa mikvodo, that Hashem gave of his kavod to this person. So does he have to actually appear in a state of kavod? I mean, poskim discuss, you know, the old kings, they wore their royal garments, and they had on their crowns, and their royal robes, and their scepters. The President of the United States, he dresses like we would dress. He puts on a nice suit and a nice tie, and that's how he comes out. So that's not big day malchus. Do you need to be seeing someone in a state of kavod to make the bracha? The Queen of England, on the other hand, she does have royal garments. She comes out in a crown, and she comes out in a royal robe. She has that kavod. The Prime Minister of England, or of Eretz Yisrael, or President of America, they don't have big day malchus. They wear nice civilian clothing. So does that qualify? Even Stalin.
What?
Okay, so surrounding the president, there might be honor despite... Okay, we'll talk about that. That's a good point. We'll talk about that also. Right, okay. But the question is, that qualify as royal garments? Did you need that anyways? Is that necessary? Stalin, for instance, I believe wore regular everyday clothing, but he had a lot of power. He could kill people, for sure. Napoleon, I don't believe, held himself to be a king. I think he wore also just regular military garb, more or less, you know? So again, would these people qualify? That's the question. These are the three issues I want to discuss. Now, the starting... Interesting. He did. He didn't dress the part, though, I don't think. It was a military uniform, but he didn't dress in royal garb. You know? Yeah, right. Yeah, right. They wanted to say we're one of the masses. That was Stalin's entire shita.
He wasn't considered a president.
Stalin?
Yeah.
Well, he certainly was the national leader. That's for sure. So the starting point of all these issues really comes from the Tshuva of the Radbaz, and I want to look through this carefully before we get to what the poskim say. It's on the second page of the packet. Tshuva of the Radbaz. The Radbaz of David ben Zimra was a great Rishon, a big posik, a huge Tam Chacham, big Makubal. He was the Rebbe of the Shita Mekubetzes, and in a sense, I guess, the grand Rebbe of the Arizal, because the Shita was the Rebbe of the Arizal. And somebody looked at as a very, very significant Shita and Halacha. And really, this is the earliest source I can find that would address our issues. And the poskim all look back to this tshuva as really the starting point for their discussion of modern-day leaders. So the question that was posed to the Radbaz was about this person, the Basha. Right, the Basha, again, was a governor dispatched by the king of Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, to rule over a certain area of land. So he wasn't a king in his own right, but he was an emissary of the king that was granted a lot of power. And the Shaila posed was, do we make a bracha of Nasa Mechvodo on this Basha? That was the question posed to the Radbaz. So Radbaz first quotes from Rav Avram Avbezdin, the Ravid, not the Ravid who writes on the Rambam, but the author of the Sefer Eshkol, which is another Rishon, another important Shita and Halacha, the Ravid. And they asked him this question. And if you look at the first part of this Tshuva, I just want to read these words with you. Tshuva. Davar zeh nishal lifnei Rav Avram Avbezdin, v'heishiv zal klal shel davar. So the Ravid answered the following. He said that the general rule is like this. Kol mishu chashiv b'shultanuso kemelech. Anybody who is considered in his authority like a king. V'don v'hor v'mishpat. He can judge and kill with justice. V'ein mi shemishana al devarav. Nobody can change his ruling. Mehein l'lav lav l'hein. Whether it be from yes to no or no to yes. Kemelechu. He's considered like a king. V'mavarach alav. You make the bracha. Shecholach mechvodo v'shenasa mechvodo. If it's a Jew, you say shecholach. If it's a way, you say shenasa. So the Ravid says that you don't need to be a king. You can be an emissary of the king. But the criteria to make the bracha would be the power to don v'horg b'mishpat, to kill injustice, which I would assume would come to exclude the authority to order military strikes. Many people would suggest, well, the president's commander-in-chief. And he can order a drone strike. He can pick off people, you know, in other countries based on military authority. But it says here, "Don't hurt with mishpat," meaning that the president, or our president, I don't believe, has any power in a court of law to order an execution. But even though he could order a military strike and kill people that way, but I don't know that wouldn't qualify. It has to be "Don't hurt with mishpat," and nobody can change his words. So that's the criteria given by the Ravid. The Radbaz continues further down the tshuva. I marked it off, and he questions this. Because he says that this Basha of Mitzrayim, despite the fact that he's very, very powerful, he can't kill without the approval of the Chief Justice. There was a Shofet HaGadol, which was positioned along with the Basha. And if the Basha wanted to kill, to execute somebody, he had to have permission from the Shofet HaGadol, from this Chief Justice which was there. And therefore, the Radbaz says, being that he needs his permission, that limits his authority enough to say that I don't think he should get the Bracha. Later on, he also points out that even though he could be removed by the king, that itself is not a reason to say that there's no bracha. I mean, the king can remove him, but that would not disqualify him from this bracha. And I just want to skip down to another point. If you look where I marked it off with a bracket, he then says, if you go down 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, the line begins, Ulataretz. Ulataretz davar zeh tzarech shetedah. He says, you have to know the following point. Sheish lohem shnei minei mishpat. There's two types of justice. Echad Shirai v'Echad Orfi. He said, I don't know what these terms, I assume, are Arabic terms. He explains what they are. I would assume Shirai has to do with like Sharia, something like that. But v'Mishpat HaShirai hu Masur l'Shofet HaGadol. The Mishpat HaShirai, the regular everyday justice, the authority is in the hands of the judge, of the chief justice that was there, who posek hadin, and he would rule, v'Sar Mitzuv Lasos HaMishpat. And then the Sar was the executive branch, the Basha, and he would make sure it's carried out. So that was the regular process was the judge had the authority to make rulings, and it was carried out by the Basha. The Mishpat HaOrfi, there was another kind of Mishpat called the Mishpat HaOrfi, which was Hukum HaRas Shah. That was for emergency measures, who must have a Sar Medina. That was given over to the Basha, the one who was the governor of the land. V'yachol laharo kefiya orfi afiyo shol min adin uvelo yidas ha-shofet gadol. He didn't need to go through the court system. He was able to kill when it was a time of emergency. He had the power to judge on his own and execute without the permission of the Shofet. So, the Radbaz says that the very fact, it's not a military strike, but it could be at a time of military rule, or a time of emergency, national emergency, then the Basha had the authority to execute without the permission of the court system. He could do it on his own. And that could qualify him. That's what he says. He says at the end, later on, that his conclusion about the Basha is that the very fact the king could remove him and come and change his words, that to him makes it seem he shouldn't make a bracha on the Basha. I mean, the fact he can be removed is not an issue, but the fact the king could come in and overrule him, that was an issue. He could be overruled by the king. But we see here a lot of important points from this Radbaz. We do see that you don't have to be a king to get the bracha. You could be an appointee of the king. We see this concept of having the ability to kill and execute by law, but execute. We see that having the concept of being removed from power does not preclude the bracha. But we also see that if there's somebody who can come in and change your ruling, that does preclude the bracha. So those are the big points that the Radbaz brings down. He comes out again, his conclusion is not to make a bracha l'shem malchus on the basha, but that's because of this idea that king can come in and overrule him. That's where that comes from. So now, based on this tshuva, I want to move on into the modern-day poskim and figure out how they deal with the modern-day issues. So the first issue over here, my pages here, the first issue over here I want to discuss is a temporary term. The president and modern-day rulers all have temporary terms. And the question is that a temporary term enough to preclude making the bracha? Now, we just saw from the Radbaz that the fact that king can remove the basha does not preclude the bracha. And that seems to imply that the fact that your appointment is not a lifetime appointment, and that you risk being removed from your position, that doesn't preclude the bracha at all. So, for instance, the Tshuva San Hagos, from Moshe Sternbach, Shlita. So he writes, and he discusses in his Tshuva, we'll see it more, he discusses the Queen of England, he discusses the President of South Africa, and the President of America, right? And he says in his Tshuva that term limits and the possibility of being removed do preclude the bracha. That's what Moshe Sternbach says. If you look, it's again, the packets, I'm sorry, the packets aren't numbered. There's Tshuvas van Hagos. So it's like 5 pages in or so. Tshuvas van Hagos. in the very beginning, he says that Bezachroni, I remember, Kishi Gil Eretz Yisrael, Abikor Anasi in America. The president of America came to visit Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure what year he's writing in, so I'm not sure if he means Carter, or if he means, like, I don't know, Nixon, or I'm not sure who he's referring to. This is an older tshuva. So the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael argued, do you make the bracha on the president or not? The Wadaiti says, according to me, my mother who told me the since his position is really dependent upon the decisions of the Beis HaNevcharim, seemingly means Congress, maybe he means the Electoral College, but it's not based upon, it's not on a lifetime appointment, it's based on the, being selected by others in election. And they have the ability to remove him from position if they go through the proper processes. And his authority is very limited. He says, don't make a bracha. Now the question would be, how do you distinguish between what he says and what the Rabbah said? The Rabbah said the fact that king can remove the basha doesn't preclude the bracha. But he says the fact that Congress had the ability to remove the president, that would preclude the bracha. And I think the answer is very simple. One is the king, and one is the people, right? If your authority is bestowed upon you by the king, you have the status of a king. The fact the king can remove you, okay, that's all coming from the king. That doesn't show anything about your authority being any less. You know, this is all decisions of the Malchus. If the people of America have the ability to somehow remove, impeach, recall the position, so that's very different than the king recalling his emissary. Right, correct. I'll get that there in a second. I'm going to do one point at a time. And the actual language used by Rav Sternbuch later on in his tshuva, towards the very end of the tshuva, he turned the page. So he says that, look at the end of that first paragraph in the right column. He says that Nasi Khan near Pashuch in the Varich, Shun Rak Shliya Ha'am. He says the president, and he means of South Africa, but the same thing in America. He's just a shliach ha'am. He's a messenger of the nation. Being a messenger of the king, that's very different than being a messenger of the people. Lizman, the Yonik, and he gets his authority from Congress, Shalom and Hilduchu, that can remove him. That's not a covenant of Melech. So I think that Rav Sternbuch makes a distinction between being removed by a king versus being removed by the people. The term limits imposed by the people are very different than term limits imposed by a king. That's what Rav Sternbuch would say. Now, others point out that it could be that the term limits don't make a difference. For instance, the Ber Moshe, again, in the packet, turn another page to the Ber Moshe. The Ber Moshe points out that there's certainly, the fact he has a term limit does not preclude making a bracha upon him. And he says, let me find where it is. It's towards the bottom of the page, the first column in the Ber Moshe. It begins, the line begins, Kazeh, and then it goes, Ve'in Lomar. Ve'in Lomar Pashut, a president. In the Baruch Lafishu Nifchar Mitzara Am, al Meshech Shanim. Don't say it's Pashut not to make a bracha on the president because he's chosen by the people for a limited term. And afterwards he becomes a civilian again. And the bracha is only for somebody who is a lifetime king. Ze'eno, that's not true. He quotes from the Radbaz, because the Radbaz says that even if the king can remove you from your power, there still can be a bracha, as long as you have the authority when you are in power. So that's the Ber Moshe writes. And Rav Avadja and Yochai Vedas, later on in the packet, I'm not going to go to it right now, he says that the very fact that while you're in power, you have the power, that's enough. And we know that Chazal point out, Rashi quotes in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov came to bow down, when Yaakov bowed down to Yosef. So Rashi says, Tala be'in the sagin way. Right, when the fox is in his day of power, he bowed onto the fox also. Meaning, b'inna, even if it's a temporary appointment, if you are in power temporarily, you still have the power. So based on the Ber Moshe, that's Rav Stern, the Debrecen Rav, and Rav Aja Yosef, they both say that the term limit does not preclude the bracha, and so we could still, at this point, we still have reasonable grounds to make a bracha on the president. So that's one issue. The next issue is the power of life and death. And this is a big issue. The power of life and death, Rabbaz says that to make a bracha on the basha, it would have to be that he is don v'horg mishpat. He has the ability to judge and kill the mishpat. Now again, it doesn't mean somebody who is crazy and killing out everybody in his path. It doesn't mean military strikes, but it means that you can actually make a ruling and make an execution. You know, like the ancient king, you go in with your grievances, and he would decide what to do. So that's the idea of Damar B'Mishpat. So the Magen Avraham quotes this, and the Magen Avraham says that, again, you need this authority to kill. The question would be, so what defines that, and how necessary is it? Now, there's a very important point made by both Shevet Levi, Rav Osner, and by the Ber Moshe. And the point they make is the following. The entire tshuva we read about the Narbaz was talking about the emissary of the king. Somebody that he sent out to rule. A governor, some sort of local authority over a certain parcel of land. What about the king himself? Many poskim, again, I quoted from Rav Osner and the Ber Moshe, they both say that entire discussion is only on the emissary of the king. It's only on a governor. The king himself doesn't need the power. Meaning that the idea of being able to kill is merely symbolic of the fact. It's an indicator. Does this person have power or not? So if you're not the king, we have to really classify you. Do you have the authority or not? Okay, so we have to know, can you kill? If you're the king, and everyone looks at you as the absolute leader of the country, they say it doesn't matter if you have the power of life and death in your hands. It makes no difference, because you're the king. A king is a king is a king. And even though you may have limited power, as long as you are the top leader of the country, you still deserve the bracha. So based on that, this whole criteria is irrelevant to an actual leader or a president. No matter how much power he has, certainly president is the top authority in the country, that's for sure. So therefore, even though he may not be able to make an execution, it makes no difference according to these poskim, because he is the melech. If you are an emissary, an appointee, a minister of the melech, at that point, we question, do you have power to execute or not? That's what these poskim say. Not everyone agrees to that, but many poskim say that. Now, the Rav Avadya Yosef again, he says a very interesting thing. He says that even if you want to suggest that a melech needs the power to kill, life and death, he says the power to pardon is sufficient. The this is the next page of the packet, if you go after Ber Moshe, is Yechavedas. And in Yechavedas, it's fine where he actually says it. He says, you can read the language of Rav Avadya Yosef. He says in his tshuva, it's on the second page of the tshuva, and it's in the second paragraph, a few lines down. Let's say we're about 6-7 lines in. The very end, there's a period that ends with Ulam Nira. He says, rather it seems, since the president has the ability to either accept or deny a request of a pardon, so that is enough to say he has the power of life and death in his hands. That's called being done for mishpat. So Rav Avadya says a big kula, based on other sources. He says you don't need to actually have the ability to order an execution. If you have the power of pardon, which the president has, that's enough. That's called your Damar Mishpat. So some say you don't even need to have the power of life and death if you're the melech, if you're actually the actual melech. And some say that pardoning suffices. That's considered having that power. So according to all those poskim, again, the president would qualify. You know, does not preclude the president from having a bracha. The Rav Sternbuch, back to that should we point out before, he points out that many people used to gather at the palace and make a bracha on the Queen of England. He says many, many God-fearing Jews would commonly gather at the palace to make a bracha on the Queen of England. Again, I'm not an expert on the powers of the British monarch, but in my research, I don't believe she has the power to order executions. She does have the power to pardon, though. So, again, in my meager knowledge of the British monarchy.
It used to be.
Used to be, but... when was it? Okay, yeah, we're talking about a long time ago, right? But
16th century.
Yeah, but I think it's ever since the 18th century, everything changed in England in terms of the power of the monarch. But people would gather, we're talking about modern days. Rav Sternbuch is still alive. We're talking about in the past 50 years, people would gather at the palace in England to make the bracha on the queen. And seemingly, she does not have power of life and death in terms of ordering executions, but she would have the power of pardon. So it could be that that's also a maisa which would support this concept, that you could make a bracha as long as the person has the power of pardon in their hands, even if it's not the power of execution. So that's what's said by the poskim on this idea. So again, everyone, when you ask the question to most people who haven't learned through the sugya, usually the immediate response is he doesn't have the power of life and death, he don't make a bracha. We say it's not pashut at all. Because it could be that a melech doesn't need it, and it could be that pardoning is sufficient, and the president certainly can pardon. That we know and that we've seen. So that's the second criteria about making a bracha on a president. Now the third criteria, and surprisingly, this one seems to be the biggest reason not to make the bracha according to many poskim. Rav Avadia is very comfortable saying a temporary term doesn't preclude the bracha, and neither does the issue of life and death preclude the bracha. Rav Avadia's biggest problem making a bracha on a president is this third issue. The president doesn't appear in big day kavod. He doesn't appear in the dress of honor, in the dress of malchus. The ancient ruler, and modern day monarchs, still, they wear royal clothing, royal garments, crowns, necklaces, crown jewels and the like, it's all there. Our modern day democratic leaders don't dress in that way. They dress nicely. He said they wear my special pin or something, but they're basically wearing clothes we wear to a nice occasion. And that's what they wear, a nice suit, a nice tie, nice shirt, clean pants, that's what they wear, nice shoes, that's what they would wear. They pay a lot more for it than we do, but they still, that's what they're wearing. So do you have to actually see the person in a state of kavod, whether it be in dress, or whether it be in the ambiance around to make this bracha? And that's the big shiloh. So back to the Gemara we mentioned. The Gemara told the story of Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis was blind, but Rav Sheshis made the bracha on hearing the royal entourage approaching. Now, what was making the bracha on? It wasn't upon seeing the king. Poskim explains it was on the kavod. The bracha itself is nasan michavodo levasar v'dam. Hashem gave of his kavod. So he didn't have to see the king, because the very fact he heard the royal entourage, that was experiencing the kavod. Experiencing the kavod was enough. So we see the bracha really is focused very much on kavod. And in fact, Rav Avadia brings down many shittas that say that seeing the king in a state of kavod is ma'ake, that precludes the bracha. And if you don't see him in a state of kavod, if the king's out playing basketball or something, then there's no bracha according to many of those poskim, because he's not appearing in a state of kavod. Rav Sternbuch, though, and go back to the Tshuvas and Hagos, Rav Sternbuch, you want to flip back to that. Rav Sternbuch discusses this issue, and I want to read through what he says. It's interesting what he says. I'm down to the right column on page Kuf Dawid, in the right column. He says, Lefiza nista pakti. He says, based on this, I have a suffix. Mashri isi ba Anglia. I saw in England, Yehudim omdim ul armon. There were Jews who used to stand opposite the palace. Lefamim hamalka mistakels bechutz. And at times the queen look outside, look out the window or something, go out on like a terrace. Vazvarchi, and they make a bracha. Shlechor nira shea bracha ra keshoveres brachov kemalka. I first thought to say that the bracha is only if you see the queen passing through the streets with the royal entourage. You have to see the kavod around her. Having her come out and wave from the window is not seeing kavod. The kula mechadinusa roon kavoda, and everybody honors her and sees her honor. In a case like that, you make the bracha, because you're not making bracha on her as an individual. The bracha is made upon the honor accorded to her. I'm very confused. The people make a bracha when they get invited to the queen's palace. Shemkabla said they receive him there. He says even when you're entering the palace, if they're not out in the streets with the royal entourage, could be it's not sufficient. Yes, he'll say that in a minute. But this is all his first thought. Yeah, it could be the palace itself is enough kavod. Correct, he'll say that in a minute. He says, because it could be the bracha is only when everybody is around giving honor and gathering for the king's honor. If you see the king in a room, and they're not appearing in the vestiges of honor, in royal azavarach, maybe you don't make a bracha. Aval Efshir could be, and this is what Richard was saying, could be Kevan Shemachabdin Oso Shu Melech, since they're according him honor as a king, Afishas Birchoso Lo Roa, even though you don't see the honor at the time, Tiknu Alava Bracha, you still make the Bracha. I mean, it could be the individual, that person is honored as a king in general, even though there's no act of honor being accorded at the time, there's no Bracha. And then he says further, you skip down two lines. Shamati hamigdolim harbe shibala armon amelch bebirchov yishlomar dahainu nisha armon nikar machusel chavodo. That's because it could be the palace itself is the display of honor. So you see the king sitting in his palace, on his throne, even if the room is in a simple room, on a couch in the living room of the palace, but you're in the palace. And the palace certainly looks royal. It looks very impressive. So that could be enough honor to make a bracha of the king of the palace. But one point that is just to point out over here is that the Rav Sternbuch certainly is of the opinion that you have to have some semblance of kavod surrounding the person. If you see the king playing tennis, he would say at this point there's no bracha at all, right? That's what it sounds like. Yeah, Ariel.
If he says bracha, does that mean with the full shemalchus?
Yeah, that's what he means there. With that shemalchus, you know, you could always make, it doesn't hurt to make the bracha that shemalchus. It could be it's appropriate in the case of Safik to do it that way, dafka. Then he quotes another story. Aval shemati she'agon Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Zatzal. So Zonnenfeld was the Rav Yerushalayim, one of the great gedolim of the early Yishuv in Yerushalayim, before the State of Israel. So I heard that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Shnifgash im Melech Yarden, he met the king of Jordan, B'seser B'ohel, in a private meeting in a tent. So he wasn't in the palace, and he still made the bracha. He wasn't with the royal entourage. He was hiding out in a tent, and he made a bracha. That implies that even if he doesn't appear with kavod, it sounds like you just seeing the person who has the power of the king, even though there is no kavod happening around him at the time, that could be sufficient. So it could be we can be more mekel. We can say that since you see an individual who has the power of a king, even though he doesn't display any honor, he's not wearing royal garments, he's inside a tent, and there's no royal entourage, and there's no palace around him, even so, you make the bracha. So, at the end, Rav Sternbuch, you know, he certainly is hesitant to say that you don't need to have the kavod, but based on the stories which he's telling of Greek gedolim, he says it seems like the gedolim were not makbid to see the king in a state of kavod, as long as he is actually the king. That's what it sounds like. Rav Avadja, on this point, also discusses it at length, in the Yechaveh Das. And Rav Avadja, again, he brings lots of shitas as he does both ways. And at the end, Rav Avadja says the Radbaz makes no mention of seeing the king in a state of kavod. Now, we talk about the Basha. No one said the Basha had a royal entourage. And we don't know what the Basha wore. And we don't know what kind of palace the Basha lived in. But yet, there's a bracha that could have been in the Basha, despite the only issue with the Basha was that the king could recall the Basha. But besides that, and the king could overrule the Basha. But besides that, the bracha would have suited the Basha. So Rav Avadja says that suited the Basha. So Rav Avadja says at the end, it sounds like you don't need to see the king in royal garments to make the bracha.
Except in those days, they tended to presumably dress that way and they had an entourage. They didn't play tennis and basketball.
That's for sure true. But in the halakha discussion, though, it wasn't a point that was even made. So seriously, maybe it was obvious, which is possible. Or it could be it wasn't important. It's one of those two. You know. So at the end, again, post-Gim, they hesitate on this point. But certainly is grounds to say you don't need to see the king with a royal entourage or with royal garments to make the bracha. It is brought down, though, that its security is not considered covered. Security is something else. I mean, the President of the United States, he always has security with him. He sometimes has people there for his honor. You know, sometimes. But only Secret Service would not constitute people there for his honor. So if you want to say that you require seeing the president in the state of kavod, that one's harder to manage by a president. So maybe at inauguration, even maybe in the White House, possibly you could say the White House. But the White House also, it's not the same thing as a royal palace. You know, it's a little bit different than a royal palace. And the security around him is not considered kavod, that's security. So that's something which could make a difference. Also, Rav Sternbuch points out, we'll read it together, it's actually an interesting point, very very relevant for our current president as well. If you go back to Shubas van Hagos, Rav Sternbuch was discussing the president of South Africa. Again, I'm not sure what year he was writing this in. I'm not sure which president he was discussing. But if you look at the second page, page Kuf Dalid, in Rav Shubas van Hagos, it's the top right paragraph. He says, I'm kind of in the middle of the paragraph, six lines in, there's a period, and it says, Kamo kein kam bedorim Africa. He says, similar here in South Africa. Ein lenasi me'ein kavod malachim. The president of South Africa is not accorded the honor of kings. Vlo rak itzel ha-shchorim, shlo makhirim b'nesiyos o'klau. Not only do the blacks not recognize his authority, elagam ha-levanim, even the whites. Again, I'm not sure if it's before or after apartheid. I don't know my history well enough. Probably before apartheid, I assume. Even the whites don't honor him and they oppose him. This is not something that is plausible to think by an ancient king that has an honor similar to Hashem's honor. Meaning that he's saying another point, that the way that we treat our modern day democratic rulers is very often with shame and disgrace, right? As we see out there this very day. So how could you make a bracha that Hashem accorded of his honor upon this person when the entire country disgraces the person? Like, how could that fit? An ancient king, whether you liked him or not, you gave him honor or you're dead, you know? Our modern-day democratic rulers, you know, there's freedom of speech and freedom of the press, and you can speak out, and you can disgrace, and, you know, there's no issue with it, and it's very commonplace. So how could that person deserve the bracha of Nasun Chulmas Radam? So that's another point made by Rav Sternbuch, which unfortunately we see even more powerfully today in 2017, but we've seen it throughout the entire history of America and many other democratic countries. So those are all the points here. So could we construe a shita to make a bracha on the president? Absolutely, you know? If you were to make a bracha on the president, I think certainly Yishma Lismuch, and based on the fact that his term is temporary, many poskim aren't bothered by that. Based on the fact that he can't execute, some aren't bothered by that, and some say, well, he can pardon. Based on the fact that he doesn't appear in royal garments or have a royal entourage, some poskim say, okay, but he has the power, he's accorded honor, that's enough. So could we make a bracha on the president based on that? Certainly. However, because of all the doubts which are there, Safek Brachos Lekula, usually is our klal, and therefore most poskim at the end, in their conclusion, say it's better to avoid the bracha, make it without Shein Malchus. That's what most poskim would say. Again, I think some poskim still would tell you you can make a bracha with Shein Malchus. But if you're asking me what I would suggest, I would certainly suggest making it without Shein Malchus. Everyone should ask their own Rav, the Shiloh, if they get the chance to meet the president. Yes. He says, yes, it's without Shein Malchus, right. Sternbuch, last pair. Messenger to Don Kish Safik in the Varach Mashiach Malchus. Yeah, correct. Also, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has said the same thing as well. When it says you're Svinvatul Talmud Torah to go see the king, it means when he appears in his honor, not just to get a glimpse. That I think we could apply to go to an inauguration or something like that. That's seeing the king in his honor. When he's going to tour an airplane factory or something, so then maybe you shouldn't Vatul Talmud Torah for that one.
Same stock for the Queen of England.
So interesting. The Queen of England, and Rav Sternbuch says people did make a bracha on her, and that was commonplace. Queen of England has more going for her, because she could pardon like the president can pardon, but she does appear in royal garments. It's a lifetime appointment. So I'd be much more comfortable saying to make a bracha of Hashem Malchus the Queen of England. Now, her power is limited. Again, in my little knowledge of the monarchy, I did a little research on this. She doesn't have the authority to execute anymore. She is supposed to sign bills into law, like the president. So laws are supposed to ascend through the queen. She never, since the 1700s, they've never not signed the law into place, but they have the power officially. She's the commander-in-chief officially. So she has a lot of these powers as well as the president. Yeah, she's certainly head of state, you know, on all fronts. She's accorded royal honor, and she has a lifetime appointment. So I would be much more comfortable. I would make a bracha on the Queen of England. I think I would be comfortable making a bracha on the Queen of England personally if I ever got the chance, but not on the president or the prime minister. You know, that's what I would... without Shein Malchus for the president. But I think for the queen, you could make with Shein Malchus, I would think. Without Shein Malchus for the president. So for us here in the capital area, hopefully the opportunity will arise to get to glimpse the president, you know. But again, whether you like him or not, to be able to see somebody in that state of power and honor is worthwhile. The Gemara says that we should run to see kings. And for us, to look at the person and say, whether I like him or not, he is an authority of the power more than anyone else in the entire country. He's accorded more honor than anyone else in the whole country, and therefore I should use that as a tool to connect to Kosh Baruch.